Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You are now tuned in to the Candy Bag B, and I am LB. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So tonight's show is called Whose Is It? First of all, let me tell you who is not. Nigga, it's not yours. We will be discussing women and their sexual liberation. This past weekend, I experienced some very liberating things in my life, and I realized that there are a lot of women who are so controlled, held back, and pretty much shamed into feeling how they feel sexually that I felt it was important for me, a woman who is sexually liberated and free, to speak on it. Now, being sexually liberated and free is not an easy thing to get to. You have to deal with the societal standards, parental standards, family standards, just standards in general that can definitely hold us back from getting our fuck on, so to speak. So the first thing is, what is keeping you from being free? Now, I've always been very open-minded in general, even as a young girl. And the older I got, the more free I thought, freely I thought. But there were things that were literally holding me back from being exactly who I wanted to be. So for me, religion was a big one. Now, at the beginning of this podcast thing, I stated that two subjects I would never talk about, and that's religion and politics. But for this particular subject, it is imperative that I discuss religion because it goes hand in hand with a woman's sexual experience, especially if she was raised in a church. So for me, I was raised in a church. And for any of you who were raised or still go to church, I do not go to church any longer. And I have my reasons why, and maybe one day I'll tell you. So for those who are raised in the church, we know that the Bible says that you are not supposed to have sex before marriage. It's very, very binding to women. Sex is literally only spoken about to conceive children and for the man's pleasure, loosely, you know, for his pleasure. I did not agree with any of that. None of it. I'm like, so why is he the only one that can be pleased? I can't be pleased too. I mean, we in this shit together, right? So the deeper I got into the religious part, the religion itself, the more difficult time I had really figuring out who I was sexually. Now, I lost my virginity at 14 when I wanted to. I was ready at that moment. But I was definitely in a constant struggle between my wants, what I felt I needed, and morality. Morality can definitely be a big hold on us because that's what we're taught. We are taught that boys can do whatever they want to. They can be with as many women as humanly possible. And that's just them sowing their oats. And boys will be boys type shit. But for girls, we are told that we cannot have sex before marriage. That we are supposed to hold our virginity close to our heart. And you only give that up for the love of your life and the man that you marry. But my question always was, well, who the fuck is these bitches these niggas is fucking here, there, and everywhere? Because apparently not all of us are holding true to this hold your virginity until you marry shit. I know I didn't. So where them hoes at? Like, where they at? Can I talk to them? Somebody? Anybody? Because I want to learn their ways. So when I got into my 20s, I was celibate for 8 months because I felt like that's what I needed to do, so on and so forth. And that was the worst 8 months of my life. To go from having sex as much as I wanted to cutting it off and not fucking nobody, man, I was a miserable ass bitch. And anybody out there who has ever been celibate for any amount of time over a month, you know exactly what I mean. So I was queen bitch, really nasty, but I'm proud of myself for making it 8 months. I honestly can't even remember why the fuck I did it in the first place. And it all seems pointless at this moment in my life. So after that stint with celibacy, I realized that I like sex and I want to keep having sex. And the Lord just going to have to love me. I mean, pretty much that's how I viewed it, because what I'm not finna do is stop, because it feels good. Why wouldn't I do it? I'm not out here hurting anybody. I'm being safe. I'm protecting myself and I'm having a good time while I'm doing it. I didn't feel a way about it. And that is when I personally stopped letting religion control my sexual needs. If you haven't gotten there yet, maybe you never will. Maybe listening to this will help you to open up more and realize that you are a fucking adult. Bitch, if you want to get some dick, get some dick. My nigga, if you want some pussy, get some pussy. Period. Now, if your morals control you, which no judgment, no shade, no shame, then you do what you whatever it is you feel you need to do for you and your body. Now, for me, I'm going to keep fucking. The second thing that held me back was my upbringing. Now, my mother talked about sex, but never in the pleasurable way. Never what a woman is supposed, woman or girl, is supposed to get out of sex and what the man should be doing with the sex, so to speak. So I just was going in that shit blind. Like, I didn't know what an orgasm was. I just didn't know a lot. Now, I did start masturbating pretty early, so I knew what that was. I knew that when I touched my clit that it felt good. So I began to explore more in that aspect. And I was maybe like 10 or 11, and no, nobody touched me. No, nobody molested me. I was very aware of my body at an early age. That's all. So with my upbringing, you know, my father was, don't do it because I said to. And you know how most fathers are with daughters. They don't want them doing nothing, and pretty much that's what we did. Nothing. Only what they allowed us to do. And it made me want to rebel more. So parents, I want you to remember, well, number one, you haven't always been an adult. Number two, remember how you were at that age, whatever age your child is. Remember how you were. We all have to learn our stupid ass teenage mistakes. You can talk to them until they are blue in the face and they're still going to do dumb shit, because that's the dumb shit that teenagers do. If you was to go back and ask your parents or guardians or whomever raised you how you behaved as a teenager, I can pretty much guarantee that they would give you a long ass list of dumb shit that you did and or said. So take it easy on these teenagers, y'all. Now, some things, they still need to be cleaned up their goddamn room. But when it comes to sex, it's time for us to open up and be smart and be honest with them about what to expect. There are way too many babies being born. Way too many out of wedlock. Because the parent knew that their daughter was having sex and did not take care to go get on birth control. and using the excuse, well, I'm open and I told her that she can come to me whenever. Man, them teenagers ain't gonna do that shit. You are the parent. You take her down there and get her on some birth control. Get her condoms. Tell her what she needs to do to make sure she is safe. Tell her what she needs to do to make sure she is pleased. There is nothing wrong with having that conversation with your child. I mean, because you want some old ass, trifling ass nigga to school her on sex, dick, and relationships? No, because she's going to be caught in a vicious cycle for years to come if you let that happen. So talk to them. Keep it real. Let them know the experiences that you've had. Hell, let them know how their daddy treated you. You know, not in a bashing way, but just tell the truth. Because you never know what that can do to help them. Okay? So, back to my upbringing. I was very sheltered. We weren't really able to go anywhere as a teenager. And my sister was kind of wild. So, that kind of held me back from being able to do a lot as well. But, you know, y'all know that don't stop a teenager when they want to fuck, right? I hope y'all know that. Because if there's a will, there's a way. And I always made sure that I had a way. Remember that. So kids can do what they want to do. They'll figure it out whether you know about it or not. Now on to your past experiences. So there were girls, you know, there are always girls who are considered hoes in high school or promiscuous or things like that. Now, I was promiscuous in high school, very, very promiscuous. Nobody knew what I was doing, though. At least I wasn't privy to anyone knowing what I was doing. I pretty much liked older guys or guys that did not go to my high school. Now, I fucked a couple of niggas in my neighborhood, but, you know, I kept it copacetic. Now, those older guys, they taught me a lot. Most of them niggas was pervs because they knew how old I was and it was still fucking with me. But what it allowed me to do was to explore what I wanted to explore. And I was doing a lot of shit early because that's what I wanted to do. So why not do it? Who else was going to stop me? If I wanted to fuck with two boys, then I did. If I wanted one in the front, one in the back, then I did. I did whatever I felt like I wanted to do sexually. Because my motto was, I want to get everything out now. So when I get married, I don't feel like I missed out on something. And I had fun doing that shit too. Like I had a really, really good fucking time fucking. From my teens all the way up to now. I really, really enjoy that shit. And ladies, I hope that you all are enjoying the shit too. Get you some dick, bitch. You'll feel better. Well, if it's a good dick, let me be more specific. Now, as far as the past experiences, you could have been talked about or, you know, mistreated when it came to sex from a male or a female. So I can understand how that would cloud judgment. And cloud the way you think about sex and how you view it. So once you can move past your past experiences that may have caused trauma or, you know, may have been caused by trauma or may have been caused by a bad relationship or a man who talked to you crazy or in any number of variables, then you can begin to be free. My goal is to make sure that women know that we can do what they do. We don't have to hold back if we don't want to. Now, if you want to, that's fine. Everybody does what they got to do. But if you want to be more sexually liberated, the first thing you need to do is stop giving a fuck about what anybody has to say or think about you and what you choose to do with your pussy. That's number one, because we're adults and we are consenting adults. And why on earth would I give a fuck what anybody got to say about what I do with my puss? I don't. You ain't gotta like it, but shit, you ain't fucking me. I ain't giving you no pussy. You ain't giving me no dick. It doesn't affect you at all. So why you care so much about what I do with my shit? Mind the puss that fucks you. Mind the dick that fucks you. That is what your main concern should be. Now, the definition of sexual liberation has to do with being willing to respect the different sexual behaviors of others. What that means is everybody got a kink. You ain't gotta like it, but you must respect it. There are some men who are so in love with feet that they'd rather fuck your feet than your puss. Hey, it is what it is. That's his kink. Either I'm with it or I'm not. There are men who like to be dominated. Those are my favorite because in a former and past life in fantasy land, I was a dominatrix. And actually, that was what I wanted as a career, as a, you know, in my early 20s. But, you know, I had a son and I didn't really put the focus into doing it. But I think I would make a lot of fucking money doing that. And because, you know, it's some men out here that need to be punished by a dumb. And this 6 footer can definitely dominate and make him eat my heels, smack that ass, and ask him whose dick is it. I love that shit. So, you see how easy I was able to get into that role? Doesn't take long because I'm open. I'm open enough to be able to delve into that side of me. And yes, I have dominated men before per request. And I enjoyed every single moment of it because that was one of my aspirations and I made sure it happened. Now, sexual liberation has a lot to do with non-judgment. And that goes for the alphabet crew, i.e. the LGBTQA. And I feel like I'm missing a letter, but I think that's it. Please excuse me to those who are a part of the LGBTQA community. If I messed it up, I apologize. Charge it to my head and not to my heart. But yet again, what they do with their body parts is none of my concern. That does not mean that I don't love them or care about them any less. It is what it is. Let people be who they are, including your children. Parents, we know when our children are gay. And I'm going to leave it at that. So, ladies, be as non-judgmental as you possibly can towards yourself and towards your friends and towards your family, especially the ladies in the family. Because if nobody else knows how hard it is being sexually free, shit, it's us. We know how hard it is. We know what it is to be called a hoe if you fuck more than one dude. We know how it is to be called a hoe if you fuck two friends. Me personally, I don't call that a hoe because them niggas some hoe ass niggas too if they did it. Hey. Or to be called a hoe because you get paid to fuck. I mean, why not? Everybody shouldn't want to get, you know, fucked for free. If that woman is a prostitute, let her prostitute. That's her pussy. That ain't none of your concern. That ain't nothing for you to worry about. So be easy with yourselves, ladies. Take it easy. You know, don't worry about what anyone else is doing with their twat. Because yet again, that is none of your concern. So let's get into sex and love. Because there are some women who do not know how to separate the two. And they should be separated. Sex and love are not cohesive. You don't need one to make the other thing good. There are men that I love that I've never had sex with. There are men that I've had sex with that I don't love. My pussy is not attached to my heart. And it shouldn't be, because those are two different organs on two different parts of the body. So they shouldn't connect. Now, I have run into guys who thought that I would just fall head over heels in love with a dick and, you know, be calling and doing all of that. And when I didn't, they didn't know what to do. I'm like, first of all, we just fucking. I know the difference. All you get out of this is some pussy, and all I'm getting out of that is some dick. I'm not doing shit else other than fucking you. And that's pretty much it. So I am thankful that I am one of those women who do not have an emotional connection to sex. Now, sex with emotion is great, but it's not needed for me. If you know that you are a woman who equates love with sex, don't try to be out here fucking more than one dude at a time, because you're going to be confused and you're going to get your feelings hurt. And the only person that's going to hurt your feelings is yourself, because you caught up in some shit because you think you love that nigga because he dicking you down. Nah, we know when men love us or when they just want the sex. Behave accordingly, ladies. Now, let's get into casual sex, because I love casual sex. I can holler at you when I need some, especially if it's good. No pre-conversations. No showing out, showing off. Man, listen, it's a dick appointment. I am coming over here to get that dick. I'm not coming over here to have a conversation with you. I'm not coming over here to watch a movie. I'm not coming over here to watch a TV show, Netflix, chill, none of that. What I am coming to do, this is how I like for my dick appointments to go. First of all, I'm going to eat before I get there. I am also going to drink water before I get there. I text you to let you know that I'm outside. You meet me at the door. I walk directly to your room, and then we proceed to begin foreplay so that we can get this fucking on. We gonna fuck for however long we fuck. I shower and leave, because I always got some extra shit to do. You are just a stop on the roadmap to where my destination is. So pretty much I'm coming to get that dick, and then I'm getting the fuck up out of there. That is how I run my dick appointments. There are some women who think that a dick appointment should feed you. And no, ma'am, that's not what the dick appointment is for. Dick appointment. That means you have an appointment to get some dick. And that's pretty much it. Bitch, if you're hungry, eat before you get there, or eat when you leave. That's just how I feel about it. You ain't got to agree with me. Now, casual sex can lead to a relationship. Casual sex can also lead to a baby. Casual sex can lead to a bunch of shit that you didn't ask for. But I think all of that happens when we are not clear, first, with ourselves about what it is that we want. And two, we're not clear with the person that we are having sex with about where we want this to go and what expectations that we have. Because even with a dick appointment, you need to set expectations. Like, this is what's going to happen. This is not what's going to happen. Do you want to compromise with this? Do you think you're finna come on my face? Do you think you're finna come on my ass? Like, you need to set rules as well. Just because it's a dick appointment don't mean that you're finna bust every hole wide open and nut everywhere. No, there still needs to be a level of respect. There still needs to be communication to the point where everybody knows what's happening. No one should be shocked or in awe. Well, in awe is a good thing if he laying that dick down. But everybody should be informed of what is happening and where it is going. Because, I mean, dick appointments can last for a while if you want them to. I don't see why not. I don't know. I've had fuck buddies for years at a time, so it worked for me. I saw them, you know, we saw each other whenever our schedules worked out, and then we just kept it moving. So let's get into slut shaming. And I absolutely hate slut shaming because it's some shit a man came up with to make women feel less than for loving sex and wanting to have sex. So the definition of slut shaming is the action or fact of stigmatizing a woman or engaging in behavior judged to be promiscuous or sexually provocative. Here's a healthy and hearty fuck you to all the men and women who are out here shaming women because they choose to fuck whomever they want to. Maybe if you got on a dick or four, you wouldn't be so concerned about what somebody else is doing with their puss. You know, find something to do with your life. Pretty much. That's how I view it. Now, I'm going to let you all know that this is going to be one of the shorter shows because it is late and I am sleepy because I had a really good workout. So I'm kind of going through this at a more rapid pace than my other shows. I'll try to make it to 45 minutes. But if not, you know, next Monday will be part two of this. Now, with slut shaming, as you can see by the definition, it is only used in reference to a woman. And society has made women feel like we can't have sex and enjoy it. And that's a lie. You should enjoy sex. You should know your body so well that you can tell somebody what it is they need to do to make sure you have an orgasm. Because one thing's for sure and two things are for certain. A man gonna get his, period and point blank. It is physically harder for some women to orgasm than men. And you know, there are some guys, it's harder for them to orgasm as well. But ladies, if you don't know your body, how are you going to direct anyone else to please you? You should know what makes you tick. You should know what makes you have an orgasm. You should be so in tune with your body that if a man is not doing something right, you can either tell him, no, that's not how you do it. Or yes, right there, right there, right there. That's how well you should know your body. So get your hands down now. Get to touching around. Get to seeing what that thing feel like. Get you a toy if you need to. Do whatever it is you need to do so you know your body so you can tell him what you need. Because it is not just up to the man to make sure that you are sexually satisfied. He has a part, but you have a part as well. You need to know your body so you can direct him. Also, with slut shaming comes, that's where religion comes in. That's where your upbringing comes in and your past experiences, because it's such a bad thing to be a slut. Personally, I don't give in to those names. I like fucking and I like sex. So I'm going to do it. My motto is use it or lose it. Either you use that puss or you're going to lose it. I prefer using it because I don't want to lose it. I like it. I want it right where it is. So ladies, if you don't want to have sex with multiple men, get you a toy. Hook yourself up, because some of y'all attitudes are so fucked up, we can tell that it's been a while since you had an orgasm. And even if you are single, you know, you don't really have to worry about or wait on a man to be able to please you. Go ahead and get that toy and let that shit out, girl, so you can have a good day every day. All right, so now we are going to take a slight pause for the calls. And then we're going to get into the detail for the night. So this detail is called Black on Whitey. And yes, that is exactly what it means. Now, this is a portion of the show where I'm going to discuss a specific type of dicktail. And for those of you who are kind of queasy and not really into alternative sexual experiences, you might want to fast forward through this because it's going to get a little wild. Okay. So I was in my early 20s, and Slim Goody, low haircut, doing my thing. So I'm walking home from the bus stop one day, and this older white guy passed by me. And then he passed by me again. So, yes, I was, you know, on high alert, but it wasn't one of those kidnap me vans. You know, there were windows all over the van. It almost, well, no, it looked like one of those church vans, you know, those white church vans, but the one that's going 16 passenger vans. That's what it was. So he slowed down and he asked me what my name was, and I told him, and then, you know, he told me I was beautiful, so on and so forth. So anyway, so we conversed a little bit there, exchanged phone numbers, and then we were in contact for the remainder of the week. So he then contacts me, and we start talking about sex. Now, for me, and this is only for me, I am the girl that will have sex on the first date because I want to make sure that the dick is good before I catch feelings. Period. That's me. Doesn't have to be you. But I'm not going to fall for a dude and be all in love and like him a whole lot, and then I find out months later that the dick is trash. I am going to be upset, and I might get a little violent on the inside. You know, I wouldn't lash out at him. Well, I might cuss him out, but because he didn't tell me that shit was trash. Y'all niggas be known when your dick is trash. Stop acting like you don't. Anywho, so we started talking about sex, and he was very open with what he liked, what he didn't like. So I was like, okay, cool, bet, no problem. So there is going to be a strap-on referenced in this portion of the dicktail. Just letting you know. So he tells me, or he asks me, have I ever used a dildo before? And I was like, no. At that point, I hadn't. So I was like, no, I haven't. But, you know, I'm pretty much open to pretty much anything. And if I don't like it, I'll just say no, or I say stop, and then we can switch to something else. So what I said, no, he asked me how much would it cost for him to fuck me. Now, he was an older white guy coming at me, a black chick. So I'm glad he already knew what time it was, and I didn't really have to say anything. He brought it up. So I gave him my price, and you can call me a prostitute. You can call me a hoe. You can call me a slut. You can call me whatever. But it's my pussy. It's my price. Either you with it or you're not. So he agreed to the price that I told him, and we made arrangements to meet up. So I go to his place, and, you know, show me around. He had cooked dinner. Like, he had really laid out a spread for me. I was like, oh, shit, okay, cool. Let's get it. So we sit down, and we start talking, and he gets a little bit more detailed about what he wants to do and what he likes. So then he pulls his dick out, and he has a little bitty skinny micro penis. And I was like, okay, I get it now. Then, you know, he told me he was divorced, and I think they had a couple of children, and, you know, he had a thing for dark-skinned women. And back then, I wasn't aware of the fascination that some men, white men, have with darker-skinned black women or black women in general. So now that would be a red flag. Then it wasn't, because I wasn't as half-woke as I am now. Because I'm not all the way woke, because some of you woke niggas be doing the fucking most. Neither here nor there. So he wants to talk more about what he likes. And with his micro penis out, I did tell him, I said, so you know with that dick, it's extra, right? It's extra. Because that's little. Like little, little. And I know that I am not going to get any pleasure from that. So he agreed to the extra price as well. And we go into the room and he gets started. Now, I have been with white guys before, and all of this happened in my 20s. And what I will say is that man definitely compensated for the lack of dick that he had. He compensated with that mouth because that mouth was on point, as it should have been, because he got a micro penis. You better be gold medal level with that mouth and tongue when you have a little dick, or your dick is trash, or your stroke is trash, or all that shit is trash. So he gets to going. He gets to going, and it's getting good. And now we switch positions, and it's time for me to get on top. Now, he has a little bitty penis. So we were struggling with that condom thing. And he also had issues keeping it together, keeping his dick hard. And I assumed that because his dick was so small, like it was little, 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 that impotence was, it is what it is. That doesn't bother me. I understand it and I get it. So he asked me again, have you ever used a strap-on on a man? And I said, no, I never have. I've never used a strap-on, period. And I definitely haven't used it on a man. And he said, I would like for you to use one on me. And yet again, I said, you do realize that it's extra, correct? He said, yes, I do. Name your price. Gave him my price. And he pulls that bad boy out. And listen, let me tell y'all something. I've seen dildos before, okay? I've seen strap-ons before. That was the biggest and thickest strap-on that I had ever seen at the time. It was thick, it was long, and it was black. So I'm chuckling on the inside because I'm like, oh, he really do got a thing for black people. Okay, all right, cool. So he helped me into the strap. Right leg in, left leg in. We pulled the straps on the side. That's why it's called a strap-on, guys, because you literally strap yourself in and, you know, pull it back to tighten it to your liking. So I get everything situated. He gets the lube. Now, he's pulling all of this shit out of his drawers, okay? He's getting it in. And I was like, oh, well, he was prepared. So this was my very first time doing anything like this. So I was one-on-one. I was in a strap-on class one-on-one for sure. So he tells me what he wants me to do and how to enter him. And I do it. And I enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed that power that I had over him at that moment. And that's where my love of being a dominatrix came from as well, from that experience right there. That let me know that, number one, to me, he's not gay because I'm not a man and I don't have a dick, and we were using a strap-on. And I don't know if a lot of you know, but the male's G-spot is inside of his anus. So he knew what his G-spot was. He wanted his G-spot touched, and I was going to be the one to bring that pleasure to him. So my stroke was weak as fuck. Because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. So I tried to remember what I had seen on porn as far as their strokes were concerned. And I just emulated that as best I could. He didn't seem to have an issue with the stroke, so I kept doing what I was doing. And we were getting it in. After that, I had a newfound respect for men and the job that they do as far as sex. I was so sore the next day because, you know, that thrusting motion, ladies, that shit ain't easy. So don't take it for granted if you got a man that got a good stroke, because he's really putting in work, like seriously. I was laying some fake pipe You know what I'm saying? Like I was getting it in. At least I thought I was getting it in. His level of excitement let me know that he was enjoying himself as well. So we move on and we getting it in. And he asked me to choke him. Now, he was a shorter gentleman and I have long arms. So I'm in doggy style and I'm choking him. And he is loving that shit. And I was like, bitch, who you gonna tell? Because this shit is crazy. Like, this is crazy. But I was enjoying myself because it was a new experience. And it didn't make me queasy or, you know, it didn't turn me off or anything. So I was enjoying it as much as he was. And now he wanted to ride. I was like, this motherfucker bold as hell to get on top of this big old dick. But, I mean, apparently he's used to it because he pulled that shit out of his drawer. So he gets on top of that dick and he is facing me. So he jerking off and he bouncing on it. I'm pretty much just laying there just trying to, you know, thrust back whenever I can remember to, because I'm like, this shit is wild, bitch. This shit is wild. Like, this is wild. I couldn't believe that I was in that situation. So he has an orgasm, gets off the dick, helps me take it off. He goes to wash it, clean it, put it back. He's very meticulous. I got to give him that. He was very clean. And then we proceeded to have a discussion on how much he enjoyed that, how much he enjoyed me, and that he couldn't wait to do it again. So that was my first experience in the femdom arena. And I really, really liked it. Yeah, like, for real. I really liked it. So Black on Whitey was a thing. And we kicked it a couple more times. And hell fucking yes, he had to pay me the same amount each time if that's what he wanted. If he wanted me to wear lingerie, that was extra. If he, whatever it is extra that he wanted to do, he knew he had to pay for it. And he didn't have a problem paying for it. And shit, I didn't have a problem giving him a price. Because this is outside of my normal boundaries. And hell, it's my pussy. If I want to charge you, you already know what's up anyway. So, yay, good thing. So, we are now off of Black on Whitey. And we are now to one of my favorite parts of the show. And that is called...
Who gonna check me?
Who gonna check me? So this one, you know, I think the Lord be testing me to see how I'm going to react to situations. Like, I think the universe just kind of brings shit to me to see how I'm going to react at this point. Like, I know I'm glowing. I'm happy. I'm joyful all the time. Like, I can tell that I'm always smiling. So last week I go into Ross. And I'm looking for some shorts because I've gotten a lot slimmer and nothing in my closet fits anymore. So, yay, I get to go shopping all the time. So I'm in there and I'm walking around and I'm getting my stuff together and enjoying myself. So I've been buying clothes that are letter size, small, medium, either a small or a medium or small, medium. And I didn't know what number bottoms that would translate into. I don't know why I was thinking I was like a size 6 or 8. Not sure. I later found out the next day, 2 days after, that I'm a size 4 again, in the best shape of my life. Yes, I love it. So anywho, there was a lady, black lady, working. She had her back to me, but she was putting clothing on to racks. So I was one row over from her. She worked there. And I said, excuse me, ma'am. And she didn't turn around. So I said it a little bit louder. Excuse me, ma'am. The look that she gave me when she turned around was the look of a woman who had been arguing with her man all day. And he had the unmitigated gall to try to speak to her when he got home. She cut her eyes at me. And then she said, well, hey to you too. And I said, oh. I said, excuse me, ma'am. Did you not hear me? She said, no, I didn't hear you. How can I help you? I said, you can't. No, thank you. I'm okay. I'm a go on about my day. So she rolled her eyes at me again, turned around, and continued doing what she was doing. Her attitude instantly affected mine, like, for real. Like, I was ready to, what I wanted to do was to walk up and slap her because I didn't understand why she was coming at me like that. First of all, lady, I don't know you from Eve, Adam, Cain, or Abel. I don't know you from nobody. So the attitude that you have towards me is uncalled for. So I continued shopping a little bit, and then I knew it was time for me to go because I was getting more and more angry at that interaction. So I get in the line, and I'm talking to the cashier, and I say, hey, can you do me a favor? Turn around. Did you see that young lady right there? And she wasn't a young lady. She was an old bitch. But I be trying to be respectful of people's ages and shit. So I said, you see that young lady right there? I said, who is she? It's, you know, because I just had a very bad experience with her. She said, oh, that's the manager. The manager? In my soldier boy voice. Manager? Acting like that? Seriously? Wow. So I told the incident to the cashier, and I said, look, I'm very understanding, like really, really understanding. So I get it. Retail can be, woo, I did it. I've done retail before, so I get it. Customers be on that bullshit. People be on some fuck shit. And it's just dealing with a lot of attitudes in and out throughout the day. I get it. I understand it. But the way she came at me was uncalled for. So I continued to tell the girl, excuse me, the cashier, that ask her if she could suggest that the manager go to the back. She needs some time alone. She needs some time to herself because she don't need to be talking to nobody else with an attitude like that. That's how fucked up her attitude was. Like, it was really, really, really bad. And it affected mine. And I just could not understand why she was coming at me like that. So here is what my rant is for today. If you have a fucked up attitude, stay your ass at home. Don't go to work like that. Especially if you are working with the public day in and day out. Now, I know people be on that bullshit, and it can be stressful. It can be a pain in the ass. But, you know, there are alternatives. You don't have to work in customer service. You don't have to work in face-to-face customer service. You can get another fucking job because she needs another fucking job. Like, her attitude was so horrible. It was really, really bad. And I can't even imagine how many people she affected negatively that day with that attitude. Look, find another fucking job. Retail ain't for everybody. You got to know when to hold them, and you got to know when to fold them, and you got to know what you can and cannot do. If retail ain't your thing, go learn how to type. Become a fireman, a police, something. Please do something other than retail, because that will have you cussing people out for real. I know that my attitude ain't right for me to work retail, so I don't work retail. I don't have a job. I have a job where I do not have to have customer contact. There is no form, way, or how, or when that I am ever in contact over the phone or face-to-face with a customer. I did that on purpose. I know that that part of customer service is not for me. So for everybody out there who works retail and you have a fucked up attitude, please find another job. Please stop making the life of the people you work with and the people you come in contact with hard. We don't deserve that shit. Hell, you don't deserve to go to a job miserable every goddamn day. Who want to do that? I know I don't. I love my job. I like it. I work from home. Hey, it's good for me. Find out what works for you so you can stop making people miserable. God damn. Shit. So, that is the end of Who Gonna Check Me. Let's do a little housekeeping, and I'm going to give you all some information, and then we're going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. Please like, follow, share The Candy Bag Bit on Facebook. The podcast can be found on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, and Radio Public. On Friday nights at 10 p.m., I do live shows on Facebook. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, whatever, topic ideas, anything that you want to discuss, that is your time to go ahead and let me know. You can also email me at thecandybagbit@gmail.com. Thank you again for listening. Thank you again for liking, sharing, following. Thank you for everything. You all have a wonderful day. LB out this bitch.